I'm joined by somebody who covers the NBA for the New York Times. He is the man behind the New York Times NBA newsletter. He is a Cal State Fullerton and a Big West Conference legend. He is the recipient of the 2019 Kirk Gowdy Media Award. Good friend of the program. He is Mark Stein. Mark, first things first, welcome back. And I want to ask, how are you holding up and how are you doing in the middle of all of this, Mark?
All good, man. All good. Appreciate you asking, but I'm the last person anybody needs to worry about. So here with the fam, working away.
Good. Glad to hear it. You know, we're in the middle of a time, Mark, where the players are not only not practicing and not playing, but many of them do not even have access to a hoop. How surreal is it then for these guys, in your estimation, who absolutely love basketball and they're not able to do it on any level?
Yeah, that's the part to me that just it absolutely throws you. And I think, you know, there's this perception that, well, of course, all these guys have a full court in their house, but they, you know, they don't. And I'm sure CJ can speak to that when you talk to him. I mean, the reality is that the way the league's evolved, a lot of guys tend to live as close as they can to their facilities. And in a lot of cases, maybe that's in a downtown, small place downtown, just because guys love to go to the facility at all hours and shoot or lift and, you know, make use of these palatial facilities that all teams have now. So a lot of guys don't have a hoop, and even I think we're seeing a lot of guys around the league that are starting to buy their own hoops, but, you know, shooting on an outdoor rim, you know, or something you order at the store, that's nothing like shooting indoors on NBA regulation baskets. So I think a lot of guys are shell-shocked, really, by being in that kind of situation where it's late March, the playoffs are close, and you know, it's got to be a shock to the system to not be able and just pick up a ball and get shots up.
We are talking to Mark Stein. So, Mark, bring us up to date. Exactly where are we? We're April 9th, and it's entirely speculative, but how likely is it that there will be a conclusion to the 2019-2020 season? How do you see this playing out?
I really think it depends on who you ask. If you go to the optimists out there, people like Mark Cuban, you know, they would tell you, yes, that June, July, we're going to get there. We're going to find a way. You know, I'm more of a pessimist by nature, and it's just hard for me to see all of the planets aligning to get to the point where, because it's going to have to be this bubble effect where it's everybody going to Vegas and, you know, quarantining for a period of time. And also, I think another thing that gets underestimated here is this is going to be a long layoff for everyone. These players are going to need at least a month to get their bodies calibrated again. You know, this is, you know, we talk about it all the time. It's the load management era, and teams and players, you know, player health, player safety is so much more of a priority than it's ever been in the NBA. And so you can't just expect these guys in 2 weeks after weeks of inactivity to be ready. So it's going to take a long time to get ramped back up. How are you going to, in the supposed bubble, really keep the coronavirus out, keep everyone safe? Because, you know, you're talking teams, huge support staffs, coaching staffs, referees, all the people who operate the TV equipment that's going to be needed to broadcast these games. I mean, it's going to be a huge undertaking. And I think that's why when we saw Adam Silver this week do his kind of Twitter press conference with Ernie Johnson, you know, he said the league doesn't even want to think about anything until May 1st because it's somewhat pointless. The goalposts move almost every day. And so it's hard for any league to do any kind of advanced planning.
Mark Stein joining us, breaking it down. So, Mark, you just touched on, I was going to ask you about the bubble and how many people that would involve and what that would be like, but I think you broke that down really nicely. But what about the fan experience? I mean, that's going to dramatically change as a result of all of this. How concerned, then, are people around the league about when fans might be allowed back into the arenas and whether or not they'll actually want to go into the arenas and be in large groups?
I think there's no question that there's a huge degree of concern. And if you talk about how hard it is to imagine games coming back, I mean, it's really hard to imagine fans being willing to pile into an arena, 20,000 people all sitting in close proximity to each other. I mean, that feels really far down the road on April 9th. But the reality is, I think the mindset of the league and owners, the TV money is the biggest chunk of money there is. And the first step you have to take is just getting the league back online and playing games. And let's face it, I think sports fans, we're all so starved. We all miss it so much. Nobody wants games without fans, but if that's the only way we can consume it, I think we'd take it right now. So I think that has to be the first step, and that's what we'll see. But yeah, I mean, I can't even pretend to predict when we're going to see a crowd at a basketball game anytime soon.
Mark Stein joining us. All right, so if we see games, something else I want to ask you about. You wrote in the New York Times NBA newsletter, after the Spurs won the 99 NBA title in that lockout shortened season, Phil Jackson was talking about the fact that the season was shortened. It helped San Antonio, and, you know, Phil was saying things like that. My question then, was Phil just being Phil and trolling an opponent, or is there that belief that others around the league also shared at that time, that they benefited from that shortened season?
I think Phil was definitely trolling, but the weird part is, and the reason, you know, I was taking basically a historical look at how this season is going to be remembered, and it's just interesting, you know, Phil threw out the asterisk, and it sticks to some degree. You know, people still bring it up and mention it. I remember I spoke to Will Perdue about this last year, and you know, Will was on that San Antonio team and had played for Phil, and you know, Will joked that, you know, he even brings it up sometimes with friends before they can because he knows someone's going to bring it up. I mean, Phil was just kind of, you know, he liked to play those mind games in the media, and that talk to some degree hangs around, and it really shouldn't, because that Spurs team, it was a full playoff, and the regular season was 50 games in 90 days. That wasn't exactly a picnic to go through, so, and everybody played by the same rules, so. But it's interesting that then in 2011-12, another lockout shortened season, when do you ever hear anyone bring that, the asterisk talk up about LeBron's first championship? It just never comes up. So why does it happen for the Spurs? Why didn't it happen in 2011-12? And I think the Phil factor is part of it. But the reason to get into all that is because this season is going to be so weird, no matter whether they do play, whether they can't play, like, This is going to have to be an official asterisk. This season is just so unlike any other NBA season, and it's going to be really interesting if there is a shortened playoffs. What are we going to say? What if the Bucks win the championship in an abbreviated playoffs? What if the Lakers? What if LeBron wins the championship? What if the Clippers and Kawhi win a championship? What are we going to say if the playoff format is really shortened and completely different than what we're used to?
So to that point, Mark, what about the Bucks? Before I let you go, what about the Bucks? And you touched on this in the newsletter, but how badly does Milwaukee need to make a deep run or win it all as it relates to Giannis and his future?
Yeah, I think they know it. I think they know that they really need a championship to make sure that they convince him to stay there long term. And again, that's, you know, there's just so many unknowns. But if the playoff field is shortened, or if the playoffs are compacted, and it's not best of seven in every round, which you just figure based on time, it's going to be hard for the NBA to do that unless conditions in this country change dramatically. What will we say about that championship? Will people consider it a real championship? And I don't know the answer right now, but again, just kind of using history as a guide, you know, I think people will denigrate whatever happens if the postseason has to be dramatically shortened. So if that's the case, it's going to be real interesting to see. It's going to be real interesting to see the reactions to whatever kind of season the NBA can salvage.
Agreed. So final thought, what about LeBron? He'd been playing at such an unbelievable level this season. How do you think the suspension of the season impacts him and the Lakers?
Yeah, I think it's really going to be tough on him again, because, you know, he himself has talked about it. He was ramping up and getting close, you know, getting, you know, trying to peak at the right time. And all of a sudden, March 11th, he has to put, as a 35-year-old, just shut it down completely. And we see the videos. We know he's working hard. He is one of those guys who does have an amazing home set up to try to stay in shape. But, you know, any basketball player will tell you there is no staying in basketball shape without playing basketball. And if the playoffs have to be compacted, what if there isn't sufficient time to allow games every other day? What if there has to be back-to-backs in the playoffs, which we don't normally see? I mean, all these what ifs and variables that we don't know yet, it's going to make it a lot tougher for the Lakers to go through it as an older team. So I'm sure that's on his mind.
He covers the NBA for the New York Times. He is the man behind the New York Times NBA newsletter, Cal State Fullerton and Big West Conference legend, and he is the recipient of the 2019 Kirk Gowdy Media Award. Mark, great job. Always good to have you on. I appreciate that time. Stay safe. We'll do it again soon.
Let's get to CJ. I want to hear what he has to say.
You got it. I'll do that. Thank you, Mark. Well done. Well handled. And he even promoted my next guest. CJ McCollum is coming up next. I should have had Mark Stein get me to break. I'll take care of this for you, Rome. Take a short time out. Don't forget to check out Rome's interview with Tony Hawk on Rome's podcast. When Rome comes back, he'll have a conversation with CJ McCollum. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Rolling light.